sell his books and present them to important people. Dr. Radhakrishnan, who gave him a personal audience, agreed to read the book and write his opinion. Hanuman Prasad Potter was the first to write a favorable review. The review is as follows. It is a source of great pleasure for me that a long-cherished dream has materialized and is going to be materialized with this and the would-be publications. I thank the Lord that due to His grace, this publication could see the light. Bhaktivedanta Swami went to the major libraries, universities, and schools in Delhi, where the librarians found him calm and quiet, noble, polite, scholarly, and with a specific glow in him. Amazing. Traveling on foot, he visited school administration offices throughout Delhi and placed copies in more than 40 schools in the Delhi area. The Ministry of Education, which had previously denied him assistance, placed an order for 50 copies for selected university and institutional libraries throughout India. The ministry paid him 600 rupees plus packing and postage charges. And Bhaktivedanta Swami mailed the books to the designated libraries. The US Embassy purchased 18 copies to be distributed in America through the Library of Congress. The institutional sales were brisk, but then sales slowed. As the only agent, Bhaktivedanta Swami was now spending hours just to sell a few copies. He was eager to print the second volume, yet until enough money came from the first, he could not print. In the meantime, he continued translating and writing purports. Writing so many volumes was a huge task that would take many years. And at his present rate, with sales so slow, he would not be able to complete the work in his lifetime. Although there were many who took part in the production of the book, and still others who became customers, only Bhaktivedanta Swami deeply experienced the successes and failures of the venture. It was his project, and he was responsible. No one was eager to see him writing prolifically, and no one demanded that it be printed. Even when the sales slowed to a trickle, the managers of the OK Press were not distressed. They would give him the balance of his books only when he paid for them. And since it was also he who had the burden of hiring OK Press to print a second volume, the pressure was on him to go out and sell as many copies of the first as possible. For Hanuman Prasad Potter, the volume had been something to admire in passing. For Hitcharan Sharma, it had been something he had tended to after his day's work for Mr. Dalmia. For the boy who lived at Chippewada, the book had meant a few errands. For the paper dealers, it had meant a small order. For Dr. Radhakrishnan, it had been but the slightest, soon forgotten matter in a life crammed with national politics, and Hindu philosophizing. But Bhaktivedanta Swami, by his full engagement in producing the Bhagavatam, felt bliss and assurance that Krishna was pleased. He did not, however, intend for the Bhagavatam to be his private affair. It was the sorely needed medicine, the sorely needed medicine for the ills of Kali Yuga. And it was not possible for only one man to administer it. Yet he was alone. And he felt exclusive pleasure and satisfaction in serving his guru and Lord Krishna. Thus, his transcendental frustration and pleasure mingled, his will strengthened, and he continued alone.
I just read the Sanskrit and then we all together read a word-for-word translation, if you don't mind. Atmana eva... Oh, sorry, I just wanted to read the verse. Yeah, sorry. Because there is no meter, I read it slowly. Atmana eva musavanam anjasavyatirakenam bhukhuyamana sesha purasartha svarupasya Kintu natta shesha asya sananam etat abhisam radhana matra bhavitum arhati. Word for word translation. Atmana. Self-sufficiently.
Self-sufficiently.
Eva. Shortenly. Did you find the verse?
Yes.
119. Anusavanam at every moment.
At every moment.
Anjasa.
Anjasa.
Directly.
Avyatirekana. Avyatirekana.
Without stopping.
Without stopping.
Bhukhuyamana.
Bhukhuyamana.
Increasing.
Increasing.
Ashesha.
Ashesha.
Unlimitedly.
Unlimitedly.
Purushartha.
Purushartha.
The goals of life.
Goals of life.
Svarupasya.
Svarupasya.
Your actual identity.
Your actual identity.
Kintu.
Kintu.
But.
But.
Nata.
Nata.
O Lord.
O Lord.
Ashishaha.
Ashishaha.
Benedictions for material enjoyment.
Benedictions for material enjoyment.
Ashashananam.
Ashashananam.
Of us who are always desiring.
Of us who are always desiring.
Etat.
Etat.
This.
This.
Abhisandadhanam.
Abhisandadhanam.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I think it's S. Abhisandadhanam.
Abhisandadhanam.
Forgetting your mercy.
Forgetting your mercy.
Matram.
Matram.
Only.
Only.
Bhavitam arhati.
Bhavitam arhati.
Can be.
Can be.
Translation by his Vangas Rupalpa. All of life's goals and opulences are directly, self-sufficiently, and ceasingly and unlimitedly increasing in you at every moment. Indeed, you have unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself. As far as we are concerned, O Lord, we are always after material enjoyment. You do not need all these sacrificial arrangements, but they are meant for us, so that we may be benedicted by your Lordship. All these sacrifices are performed for our fruitful results, and they are not actually needed by you. Third point. Being self-sufficient, the Supreme Lord doesn't need huge sacrifices. Fruitive activity for more opulent life is for those who desire such material opulence for their interest. If we do not act to satisfy the Supreme Lord, we engage in Maya's activities. We may construct a gorgeous temple and spend thousands of dollars, even millions, I guess, of dollars, but such a temple is not required by the Lord. The Lord has many millions of temples for his residence, and he doesn't need our temple. He doesn't require opulent activity at all. Such engagement is meant for our benefit. If we engage our money in constructing a gorgeous temple, we are free from the reactions of our endeavors. This is for our benefit. In addition, if we attempt to do something nice for the Supreme Lord, he is pleased with us and gives us his benediction. In conclusion, the gorgeous arrangements are not for the Lord's sake, but for our own. If we somehow or other receive blessings and benedictions from the Lord, our consciousness can be purified and we can become eligible to return home back to Godhead. Om Agyalak Smaranda Satyananta Nasalakaya Chakshurun Gukam Vinatas Masri Kravim Maha Gukam Karajvachalam Pandi Mangata Giri Yakrita Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Mdini Karana Nama Om Vishnu Pada Krishna Prasthka Vitale Shishiman Bhakti Vedanta Svami Vizanini Namaste Sarasvati Deva Гуравани Прачарана Мир Вишя Шишиня Вади Паштитяда Шикарана Джай Шри Кришна Чатана Прабху Нитянанда Shri Advaita, Gadadhar, Shrivas, Adi, Gora, Bhakta, Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Bhagavatam ki jai. I read the verse again. All of life's goals and opulences are directly, self-sufficiently, unceasingly and unlimitedly increasing in you. At every moment. Indeed, your unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself. As far as we are concerned, O Lord, we are always after material enjoyment. You do not need all the sacrificial arrangements, but they are meant for us so that we may be benedicted by your Lordship. All the sacrifices are performed for our fruitful results, and they are not actually needed by you. When I read that verse, I actually, I can say I had doubts, not just doubts because Srimad Bhagavatam is Srimad Bhagavatam, but just again I was thinking about all the sacrifices, because sacrifices is not just fair sacrifices. Everything we do is sacrifice, to wake up early in the morning is could be sacrifice. It could be done just, I want to do it, it could be sacrifice if I can't do it, but I do it. I mean, we do so many different sacrifices in our life, and sometimes I really start to think that it's pleasing the Lord. And there is difference. There's it can be very subtle, that difference, but Krishna is saying that all the sacrifices are performed for, it's actually about the fruitive results, for our fruitive results, and they're not actually needed by you. So he is saying, but by performing these sacrifices, so that we may be benedicted by your Lordship. So I just want, I want to hear from you, and then I say something, if you don't mind, what you think about these sacrifices which are meant to please the Lord and which are meant for us. Because many times Even like giving class, like many times I heard before the class, devotees say, so I will speak for my own purification. So this is for my sake. Yes, it's not material, it's purification, like that we can serve the Lord nicely. So just, what is the difference? To please the Lord and just for others. Mm.
It seems like an endless circle of give and take between ourselves and Krishna. It just keeps going round and round. It's tricky to keep your mind on the fact that we might do it all for Krishna. But here we're giving, we need reinforcement to know that Krishna is our, serving Krishna is our best interest. That question is often asked, what is our best interest? What is the action that will be for our best interest? And we think we can take that into our own mind and say, I know what I need, what's the best thing for me. But it takes a transcendental attitude to say, whatever you want, I'm just going to let go and let you drive the car. But here we're getting reinforcement that if you let him drive the car, he's going to take you to the place you always want to go to. We need to hear it. We need to hear it over and over and over, because sometimes we just say, nah, Krishna, you don't know what I need. I know what I need. It's the mind getting in the way, at least for me. So we need to hear it. We need to hear it in the pages of Bhagavatam. That's actually, we're performing these sacrifices. He doesn't need, but we need. And as we become established in it, then our relationship with Krishna becomes constant, ongoing, flowing through. And we become so happy that we want to just jump up in the air and say, Jai Prabhupada. It's so beautiful. Because it's our best interest. There's nothing better. There's good, better, and best. This is the best.
Thank you so much. That's a wonderful power to get that analogy with. Okay, please drive my car. Mandati Natarani?
I'm not really talking.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Krishna Lila?
With what?
Some transcendental knowledge from you.
She's asking her the fact that sacrifice is done for pleasing the Lord, sacrifice is done for the self.
Right.
So which is better, or what do you think is
which
the
is better?
No, what is the difference in what you mean? It's just she's asking your input.
I think self-evident. What's the difference?
Or any input in this regard.
Alright. I think we the pure devotees, they do just for pleasing the Lord, and those who are not completely pure, they do it for themselves. Even if the goal is to, I don't know, to live the material, for us to live the material world, go to the spiritual world, it's for ourselves. And pure devotees, like gopis or something, they don't care about themselves, they just want to please people. So as long as you're not pure, as completely pure, then you will. There will be some self-interest, even that, if that self-interest is spiritual interest.
Yeah. Thank you. I just, why I ask, because sometimes we may bewilder ourselves, like, you know, like little cheating inside, like, I just do it, like, you know, entirely for Krishna's pleasure. And forget that actually I do for my own purification. So I'm just speaking about that thing. Govinda Balba, something.
Yes, sir. Because usually we should think about, I mean, how to satisfy the Lord. And if we will purify ourselves, this is only personal.
But they always just point to satisfy the Lord, but the question was, why you want to satisfy the Lord? Even the demons, like when they worship someone, they want to satisfy the person they worship, but they want, you know, some benediction. That's the why they want to. So they always want to satisfy the Lord, but the difference is why.
Am I like talking? You talk.
I think all the talks are put together. Same.
I just, as usual, because when I read, I just wanted to emphasize, because sometimes it's like, I hope it will be relevant to you because it's very important for me. Like, many times I see only my good intentions and forget about some little impurities or just whatever. So I think it's always important to see the bigger picture, the bigger and bigger and bigger, and small too, so like all the pictures together, just you see it all very clearly. Because sometimes we think by doing that activity, I will get purified. So I think that it will happen because I do that activity. Of course, it's said in the Shastra, but actually it's by Lord's grace. We forget that part. Yeah.
Because there is the power potency in that process. Sometimes we think that, oh, I'm doing this, so I will be purified. It's not because I am doing it, it's because we are doing this. This will purify. And when we, as Mataji said, when we have our own side interests, but well, you know, I don't know whether I'll be able to please the Lord, but this will definitely purify me. It's spiritual, but it's, as Kishorya knows, it's not completely on the transcendental platform. Because the transcendental platform is just pleasing Krishna selflessly. You don't care about whether you're purified or not. You don't care whether about you're going to be in this mental world or not. Even if you're going to be in the biggest ditches, but if that is placing Krishna, then so be it. Like the gopis were ready to scratch their feet and give the dust, even if they're going to hell. But giving Krishna 1 second of relief from headache. Now think about it. We trip about being in this material world. The gopis are ready to go from Vrindavan Dham, not to the material plane, but to hellish planet, just to give Krishna 1 second of relief. So some siddhi are high portion. Pleasing Krishna. And Prabhupada gave the example of dressing yourself in front of the mirror. You dress yourself, the image in the mirror is already dressed. So similarly, when you please the actual self, that is Krishna, the part and parcel is automatically satisfied. But when you try to independently do it, you may or you may not, keeping Krishna away. So the process of Bhagavatam or serving Vaishnavas definitely pleases Krishna. Mahaprabhu came and he himself served the Vaishnavas. So if you do that, have nice Vaishnava relationships and keep the process of chanting and hearing in there as the backbone. But then we know for sure Mahaprabhu is pleased. Then if Mahaprabhu is pleased, those who are serving that process would, as Mahaprasad, you know, Mahaprabhu is eating and then rest, you take.
Oh.
So I'm satisfied and now you take the remaining satisfaction and you distribute the satisfaction.
Thank you so much. It just, again, I thought like about the pure devotion, because sometimes, like as we read, there's mixed devotion. Like, I want for Krishna and for myself, like something material or just liberation, because I'm so tired with this material world. I just need my peace. That's like in the heart. So it's important to read it, like to go in and to see what is in my heart. Is it that only desire just to get purified, to serve Krishna, to become a pure devotee? Or is there any vid of bhukti, mukti? So if there are vids, they have to be like taken out. Otherwise, vids can become bigger than the bhakti lata. And so for that sake, as Samarana Prabhu is saying, we should... Srila Prabhupada gave us that sadhana, that bhakti sadhana, and gave us these temples, the society of the devotees, like of pure devotees, pure devotee, who acts alayli for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. Different levels of pure devotees, like one Srila Prabhupada, he was asked, Srila Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are in the world? And he said, how many devotees are in our society? And he said, so that's the number of pure devotees in the world. Because there is also different definition of pure devotion. But as we know, Krishna himself, he looks on that good things in others. So if a person did something for him in his lifetime, maybe a very tiny thing, only one, at the moment of death, Krishna remembers that thing. Bhaktavatsala, what's Bhaktavatsala, that's his quality, Bhaktavatsala. And all other things, like there are many ministers, also like there is Durgadeva and other representatives of Krishna, so they take care of all other things. But Krishna himself, that's his nature, he sees only good things in us, only that pure devotion. So this is very important. It's important for me, and I hope it could be relevant for all of us, just to recognize the weeds in our heart and to not let them grow up. I also wanted to speak a little bit about relationship with the devotees. This is what I realized in the last few days. Like, recently Amarnath Prabhu gave class on envy. It was Bhagavad Gita, so you probably were not here. It was very, I don't know how to say, deep topic for me. I was stressing the details. It's such stress in that activity. And when you hear about envy, and what happened, I remember, from the moment I joined, I hope it also will be relevant to all of us. I heard many times about envious mentality and everything like that, but I never could see the trace of envy in my heart. Honestly, I was sure I'm not envious. And actually, because I was thinking I'm not envious, I couldn't also see envy in others, in their actions. So this is very good that I didn't see envy in others. So sometimes I was told, maybe that person is envious. I said, no, that person is doing it for that and that's sake. And about maybe 2 years ago, I just started to meditate on that topic just by listening to the lectures of my spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada. And I heard in the lecture that that story of Daksha and Sati. And how Daksha, first words, he became envious of Lord Shiva, that Lord Shiva didn't offer him obeisances. Why? Because he thought he's superior. Daksha, he was thinking that he's superior to Lord Shiva, and when he externally didn't offer him obeisances, he became angry with him because of envy. But his first words were, to the assembly of devotees and people, he said, please, don't think I'm envious and saying it out of envy. No. That was his first word. So he didn't say, and who is Daksha? He's such qualified. Yes, he's progenitor and he's so qualified devotee. Yeah, so he couldn't recognize envy in his heart. So that was how he said. And then we read the whole story. And I remember I listened to the lecture and it was said in that lecture that so if just for a moment you can just acknowledge, not just acknowledge, but just, suppose maybe there is little envy in my heart. That's already a big progress. That's an advancement. If I just let that thought that maybe I'm a little envious of others come in my heart. And after that, just something happened. Maybe I listened to these lectures. Because I just suddenly started to see in my intentions, which before I thought they're completely pure, I could just justify them. I did it for that sake. And it's not out of envy. Can't you see that I did it because of that? And then I saw in the same, what I've done, traces of envy. Sometimes not just traces, sometimes it was so gross envy. And first, of course, I became very horrified by that because I never thought I'm envious. I never thought. But what is the worst in all of this? After some time, immediately, others are our reflection, big mirror of us. So usually it's easier to see faults in others. So I started to see also envy in others. And that's the worst thing in it. And so how do I deal with that? So I always meditate what it is said, that if you see faults in others, that means they're present in us in such big way, so it's just our reflection. So we can see our faults in others. And that doesn't mean maybe others, they have that fault envy, because not just something imaginary. Yeah, but this is not my business. This is not my business. My business is to look into my heart. And if I want to really become a devotee, to pray to the Lord, not to be envious, to act according to the Vaishnava etiquette, to act according to what senior devotees suggest, how to deal with the envy. And So I just wanted to share that experience that for me it was big discovery that I have envy. And what was horrible that I started also to notice envy in others. And so how I deal with that. And so I just again say what I do, maybe it could be relevant to others. This is not my business, what are others' faults. Krishna or their direct authorities will deal with it. I have to deal with my faults to become purified. Because also sometimes we feel, no, but I want to purify, like to help that person, to tell him or her about his faults. Because how then that person will become purified if I will not say it? That's thinking that I'm their best well-wisher. I'm not, I'm sorry. They have their direct authority to tell them what to do and what are their faults. So what we do, as again, Amarnath Prabhu mentioned, what Radhanath Swami said, the great person who can, who's the great person who can...
One person who can tolerate provoking circumstances.
Yeah, it's shown by how one can tolerate the provoking situations. And this, I guess, is a great person, but it's a, like also, we should not just say, oh, we are little devotees, because this is also like falzigu. Srila Prabhupada said, we have to grow up in devotional service, yes? So we try to become better. That doesn't mean I want to be great, yeah? No, great means good devotee who pleases the Lord, who can serve the devotees nicely. Because when we advance in spiritual life, we can serve devotees nicely. How we can come, how we can help others to overcome their own like faults by overcoming our faults, our obstacles in our life, and then by all our own example we will inspire others. Because inspiration is the best key, you know, like to improve ourselves and others. Like if I tell you, I can say you have to do this and that because this is what you have to do. Okay, maybe like pious people, like a mode of goodness, will follow that. But like say if I'm in passion or ignorance, I will say, who are you to tell me this to do? But inspiration works for everyone. You just want to be better in the presence of that good personality. So this is what I wanted to share. And also, it's very important, again, about the association, like devotee association. I wanted to share because it seems to me so important. Just last few days I was listening to lectures of different speakers, preachers in our movement, and they were saying like very important, as I see it, point about like association, how not to be familiar, how to respect others, how to respect our friends. Like there is like in Russian they say, I don't know if you say this in English, there should be respectful distance in relationship. Do you say like this in English? Yeah. And I got very nice explanation in one lecture. A lecturer said, respectful distance means that from this distance you can respect a devotee. If some arguing starts, or you notice that you started to disrespect, see some too many faults in another person, that means that distance is too short. Move away. Make it respectful. And on the opposite, sometimes we are respectful and there is a devotee with whom even we long for more intimate association. Like, you know, you want to share some topics on Krishna consciousness. Then we may come closer. But the point where we start disrespect that person, maybe we should move away. And I noticed like, that really works. That works so well. And again, here could be the problem. I just speak from my experience, maybe your experience is different because we all came from different backgrounds, not only in that lifetime, but in previous lifetimes too. Like, could be some problem because we all actually want good, close relationship, like friendship. You know, we want to have friends. But again, if we read books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of Srila Prabhupada, of other previous acharyas, what they say on friendship, the real friendship is possible when two devotees are on Madhyamadhikari level. When the real friendship is possible. Because the real friendship, we help each other to advance in Krishna consciousness. We don't minimize, don't try to lower another person, to humiliate another person. We help, assist each other. And we are on, say, equal level. Maybe like somebody is little higher, somebody is little, but so we can share our experience in Krishna consciousness. So these are friends in Krishna consciousness. Because Kanishta Adhikaris cannot yet be friends. Because Kanishta Adhikaris doesn't see Krishna in the heart of everyone. only sees Krishna in the temple, and that's why there is no real respect to others. So that's why real friendship is not possible yet on that level. But for that, these rules, like of Vaishnava etiquette, so if I cannot respect that devotee, move away a little bit. When you can respect, that means this is good, respectful distance. It could be very long. Okay, so what to do? If I don't know how to respect others, at least I will respect them. Yeah? And when I will advance, Krishna will send me friends. So we should be also tolerant, yeah? Because tolerance is one of the biggest opulences. We want everything now. Yes, I want everything. I want everything now. Yeah? It's again about myself. But we should become tolerant. Everything will come its own time when we are ready. And we should have faith. Krishna wants all the best for us, and he is giving it to us as soon as it possible. Actually, the advancement we are making now with Krishna's help, with devotee's help, is the most rapid advancement we can make. So if you think it's too slow, this is just because we are ungrateful. So again, gratitude is very important. Yes, because sometimes even we can blame Krishna, or like somebody can say, but I pray to Krishna every day. He doesn't hear my prayers. I told him that I'm suffering so much. Why am I in this situation still? He possibly didn't hear my prayer. No, this is just I'm ungrateful. I don't see the whole picture. It is said like that Krishna wants to give you the best. If he doesn't change the situation now, that means for me this situation is the best. Just to bring me closer to him as soon as possible. That's what he is doing.
Yes.
He's just trying as soon as possible to bring me back. And for everyone, for every devotee, like a devotee is one who did something for Krishna, even a very little thing, just came for Janmashtami to the temple and said, oh, this Krishna is very beautiful. Yeah, this is already, that person did something, said Krishna, yes? There are also different definitions of devotion, like the Lord Chaitanya was asked who is a devotee, he said, who even once said Krishna, he's a devotee. Yeah, so of course there are different definitions, but like for their sake, so that person did something for Krishna, even once. So now Krishna always trying even more, because before we were not giving Krishna any chance to help us, to come to him. We said, I want to forget you, Krishna, and Krishna doesn't interfere with our free will. Yeah? So he was waiting for that moment when we say, oh, Krishna is so beautiful. So now, let's see. One has to become a pure devotee, but it can take many lifetimes, and it can take one lifetime, as Srila Prabhupada said. So, I will read the verse again. All of our life's goals and opulences are directly, self-sufficiently, unceasingly, and unlimitedly increasing in you at every moment. Indeed, your unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself. As far as we are concerned, O Lord, we are always after material enjoyment. You do not need all the sacrificial arrangements, but they are meant for us, so that we may be benedicted by your Lordship. All these sacrifices are performed for our fruitive results, and they are not actually needed by you. Want to hear your comments? Or whatever.
That is very nice. Sacrificial arrangements. This whole Prabhupada festival is a sacrificial arrangement for the whole community. Everybody's working together. I feel like everybody here must have been doing so much japa and praying to be given this tremendous service. Because once we have this service, we're all having to dig deeper and sacrifice more and get over our envy. Get over our competition, just stop, work together. Prabhupada says, if you want to do something to please me, then cooperate nicely among yourselves. Here's our chance. And it looks like so many are rising to the occasion. And it's just wonderful to be a part of this. I hope I can keep up with everybody somehow. But as you were saying, it's the relationship. And that, Lord Chaitanya says, the goal is pure love. That's the goal. It's not all this other stuff we think that we need. The goal is just to love him. And I'm thinking, for me personally, my closest experience of that is being a mother, having a child. You love this child more than you love yourself. And you will do anything, like the gophers. They will do anything. Anything. They're willing to go to hell. They're willing to die. That's the kind of love. And it's not from outside you say, oh, they're a little crazy. They're a little off balance to want to do that for Krishna. But when you're in it, as a mother, you don't care. You don't mind getting up at 4 in the morning. You love this person so much. You'll do anything for them. It's very nice. You say, I am so glad that I have this relationship with one person in this lifetime. Krishna's inviting us to have such a relationship with him, and then once you have that, it just floods out from there to everybody that you meet. This is so nice. You are unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself.
Oh.
Oh, I remember that. Somehow. You need to read it. That's what hearing is all about. We need reminders. We forget. We go into the mental platform and, I want this, I want that. I don't want to do that anymore. Oh, this is it. This is it. We're so lucky. We can hear, we can sing, we can play gorgeous music, beautiful melodies. We can dress them, we can touch them. What? If we just stop and consider, like you said, it's all about gratitude. If you're not happy, it's because you're not, you don't
appreciate it.
Yeah, you not appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Josh, you're a proud part for bringing us this. You'll be able to do some small favor for him in his lifetime.
Thank you, Chadmaya. Govinda Valba. Something on this topic more? Amar Lal Prabhu.
I think everything is covered. A wonderful class, and very informative and very introspective.
Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Bhagavatam Ki Jai.